All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here in downtown Chicago. It's Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. And we're here till 5 a.m. Okay, so there is this thing that's been happening around the country called the 48-Hour Film Festival. It's been going on for a long time. Jerry Vassalatos is with us. Jerry, welcome back to the show.
Nick, it's always a pleasure to see you. And let me just make one correction. It's actually a worldwide
okay.
film competition.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is your actual title?
So I'm the Chicago City producer.
The Chicago City producer, and you've been a part of it for a long time. Like, you made films as part of the competition, and then you started to work within the organization itself.
I did. When I was out in Los Angeles between 1996 and 2007, I was introduced to the 48-Hour Film Project in Los Angeles because I was running an editing studio over on Sunset Boulevard, and I had an actress friend who needed an editor on this crazy filmmaking competition I heard about. So
right.
She recruited me to be her editor. I think that was in 2005, maybe.
Okay.
So it was my first introduction, and I didn't even realize it was a multi-city, national, or worldwide competition, but I kind of caught the bug as a filmmaker, and I participated, I believe, between Los Angeles and Chicago. I produced and directed 6 shorts in the competition. Then I got burned out from it here in Chicago, and I kind of took a break from it, and two friends of mine who were the city producers, I guess, got a little bit burned out city producing, and they knew I was very passionate about this competition because it's a great rite of passage for filmmakers to produce a short and have it seen publicly and get attention stuff.
Yeah.
So they asked me, would I be interested in being the city producer, and I said, well, if you show me the ropes 1 year so I feel comfortable. So I was an associate producer the first year, and then they passed it to me, and I've been city producer now, I believe, since 2016, I believe.
Okay.
I was an associate producer 2015, so this is 20.
So this was your third year?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, actually, I'm sorry, it's the fourth.
It's
the fourth, yeah, because
okay.
we've been at the Music Box now 3 times and at the Logan Theater once, so it's my fourth year as the
producer. First of all, tell everybody what the 48-Hour Film Project is.
Sure.
It's pretty crazy. It's pretty intense.
Yeah. What we do is we spend 2 or 3 months recruiting filmmakers, getting the word out, promoting it. Normally, we have a lot of return filmmakers. But once we have all of the teams registered, there's what we call a kickoff event. And all of the teams that register will come to the kickoff. They will receive their paperwork, and they will draw a genre out of a hat. And that genre can be anything from drama to musical to thriller.
Sports movie, which
is what
right.
Eric here got. And
right.
my God, his short looks like a feature film.
It does.
It's beautifully,
it's great.
Beautifully produced and all around acted, everything. They draw their genres. And then we have 4 elements that every team has to integrate into their film.
Right.
To prove that they wrote that film at the start of this competition so that there's no cheating with stuff prepared ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And those 4 elements are a character profession, a prop, and a line of dialogue. So it's very interesting when you see the films finished,
right.
how those 4 elements are integrated.
How they put them in there, yeah. I've seen several of the films over the years, and it's always fun to see the element that how it pops up and how it's integrated into
sometimes
the movie.
Sometimes they integrate the prop into the story. Sometimes it's just a throwaway thing, or it's used as a gag.
Yeah.
So Friday night at kickoff, 7 o'clock, they're off to the races, and they have to return their finished 4 to 8 minute movie by Sunday at 7:30.
It's just insane.
So that's why we call it the 48-Hour Film Project.
It's insane. Well, we have the winner of the 2018. The film is called Knockout, and the filmmaker is Eric Scanlon. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's a really terrific movie, man.
Oh, thanks, dude.
People can see it online also. Let them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so people can see
point
it,
of reference.
Yeah, people can see it online at 48hourfilmfest.com.
So our website is 48hourfilm.com/Chicago, and
right.
you'll see Eric's film, and you'll see all of the runners-up as well as the audience award winners.
Okay.
Amazing films this year. Such good films this year.
Yeah.
Looking at them.
We have it linked up on our Facebook page. So
if
you can, guys, you can go right to our Facebook page, and you can watch these movies. It's facebook.com/NickDShow. I was particularly impressed. Well, I was impressed with the entire thing.
Thank you.
And the fact that you got it done in 48 hours is insane. And I read a little bit about some of the challenges that you had in terms of scheduling, and one of your actors
was
delayed. That throws a monkey wrench into something that's already pretty intense.
Oh, man. So you know, we had a set schedule because beforehand, you know, you try to get locations like pre-planned. Like that's one of the things you're allowed to do. And we had an apartment set up. And then we also had this disco set up, which ended up getting thrown away because I got sports film. And so,
well, there you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, just talking about pulling sports film and then like, what do you do? Like in 48 hours, like what kind of sports film can you do? You know, you think of like team sports or solo sports, and we decided to go the solo sport route because that seemed the easiest. Right. And the first thing that popped in my head was boxing. Mm-hmm. That seemed like the easiest thing to get in 2 days. I mean, I don't know. And I was calling around to like four or five different places, like literally leaving the kickoff, like at the Burger King across the street. I'm like Googling like boxing rings. And after four or five tries, I finally got someone on the phone who didn't have a ring, but then recommended me to this place called Reach Fieldhouse, where they film Empire and Chicago PD. And you see it in the film. It's like an amazing, gritty boxing ring. And we went there and talked to the reception girl because the owner wasn't there, and, you know, threw a few bucks at them and we got the ring.
Yeah.
So we had a schedule planned out. You know, 1 to 5 was supposed to be the boxing ring and 6 to 10 was his apartment. And our call time was 1. And the James Earl Jones II, who was the actor who played sort of the, you know, the antagonist in the film.
The uncle.
Yeah. He was supposed to be there at 2 because he was at a tech rehearsal up in Evanston, and he ended up having to stay because they got delayed and got pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And it turned into hours. He didn't ended up getting out to our shoot till 5:30.
Oh, man.
You know, so everything had to get pushed back by 2 hours, you know, and he luckily got there and everything worked out. We got 2 hours later with the boxing ring, 2 hours later at the apartment. Lily, who played the mom, she was able to stay until midnight, you know, so it ended up working out. But man, there was a point where we thought, like, we're not going to have a film.
Right. Well, that's intense, man. That's really intense.
If I can toss something in here, so let me give this guy props, because in the past, generally when people select sports film, they will go to the park and shoot something on the Little League lot, or they will go and just do something that will be well produced, but it's an easy choice.
Yeah.
You actually started thinking about a boxing ring and how do you get that on a Friday night?
Right.
The ambition in actually like deciding to go for that, it was incredible, and you had a fantastic cast. Let me say for people who haven't seen the film yet, but who will, you will watch this short film, and it kind of has a 70s vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like a Quentin Tarantino movie. Production values.
It's
not necessarily the way he would direct it, but just the attention to detail. Just one of the most luscious, beautiful production design films I've seen.
When I watched it, you know, there's no indication of what time frame it is
right
when it takes place, and clearly it was the 70s, you know, but I mean, for a couple of minutes I'm like, wait, is this, because people still, you know, wear their hair that way and dress that way, but when I heard Jive Turkey, that's when I went, yeah, this is the 70s.
Yeah, so it was a stylistic choice for sure. Beautiful. I mean, you see the refrigerator in the back though, it's not
right,
70s,
right,
but
right,
it was definitely like style choice that we wanted to go with, with the dialogue, with the, you know, the art direction, all that.
No, it works. It works completely. It's very unique and it works. We got a break here for the news, so everybody hang on, all right? And we'll come back and talk more about the 48-hour film festival and 48-hour film project, and we'll talk with Jerry and Eric, and Jerry's pretty busy too, and we'll talk about what's keeping him busy as well. But first, we got a break here for the news, which is after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on the 18th floor on Wacker, overlooking beautiful downtown Chicago, Illinois. We are here until 5 a.m. We're going to be talking about great, weird, surprising movie cameos. We got some food stuff to talk about. There's a Keanu Reeves story that's been flying around we want to get to. We're going to play a round of Music IQ and all of that. But right now, we're talking with Eric Scanlon. And Jerry Vassalatos, who Jerry is the the director of the 48-hour film festival, and Eric is the filmmaker who made the winning movie called Knockout, which you can see on our Facebook page, linked up to the 48-hour film fest page, and it's facebook.com/Nick D Show. So welcome back, guys.
Thanks.
Eric, we're just talking off the air. You're originally from the Bay Area.
I am.
And you've been here for a few years.
Yes.
And we were just talking about the fact that you were here for the World Series.
I was. Yeah. An amazing game.
It was incredible.
But everyone knows that.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. But so what's your background in the Bay Area? You told me off the air that you work for the Goodman Theater here.
Yeah, so currently I'm the video producer for the Goodman Theater, which is what brought me out here originally. I got the job over Skype and flew out here and just picked up my life and moved. My background in the Bay Area, I went to film school, so I did the film thing, and I've been making little movies my entire life. But I also have a theater background where I used to perform. I used to act, sing, dance, and do all that. Yeah. Then I started getting into the behind-the-scenes thing, started doing a lot of projection design, and I was really successful with that. You know, I've done stuff in China. I've done stuff in New York.
Good for you, man.
And then I also directed a few like musicals and stuff in the Bay Area. So I have a theater background and a love for film, and I tend to combine the two, hence my job.
Right. Well, good for you, man.
Thank you.
Very, very cool. And so that's where you got your actors from, the Goodman, then.
Yeah, from the Goodman Theater.
Well, see, you're picking from the best right there.
Yeah, they are the best. I mean, those guys can be in the movies now, you know?
Yeah. No, they're great, and they're really terrific in the movie. One of the things that I liked most about the film, it's incredible to think that you did this whole thing in 48 hours. It really is. It's nuts. Especially your editing style. It seems like it was cut down from like 20 hours of footage. You know what I mean? Like 500 hours of footage that you cut it down. There's a very distinct cutting style that you have.
Oh, thank you.
And it feels like it took you a really long time to edit it, but it didn't because you had to have it. How long did it take you to cut the movie?
About 5 hours.
That's insane.
So
that's insane.
Well, how many hours? So how many? Approximately how many hours of footage did you have to cut down from?
Probably like 2.5, maybe. Right. You know, because of like the delays and stuff, we couldn't really film much.
So it's 2.5 hours. You cut it down to 7 minutes, 30 seconds.
Right. So about 150 takes.
Yeah.
Probably got.
Man.
So I mean, like, we were very precise in how we shot it. Like, we knew what we needed to get. And
you also had the benefit of one location. Well, it wasn't one location. It was the apartment, and it was the boxing ring.
Correct.
But you had, yeah, the fact that you like had a beautiful location that you could work within. Threw attention away from the fact that you were in one location. So it's so much easier to get a lot done if you have a single or...
Oh, yeah. But it's very dynamically cut.
Yeah.
It's only two locations, but it feels like it's moving a lot more.
I appreciate
because of your cutting style. I mean, it really is sharp and focused. And clearly, like, when I finished watching it, I'm like, well, this guy knew exactly what he wanted to shoot. Exactly what he wanted to shoot, and some of the edits are really jump cuts and stuff like that, and that's got to be in your head before you do it.
Yeah. You know, when I wrote the script after you know we did the writing team thing.
Who did the music at the end?
Melody Angel, the lead.
That's her song, right?
She is not an actress first and foremost. I mean, she's an incredible actress. Like, she needs to do it more. But she's a jazz guitarist, rock star here in Chicago.
Right.
She's incredible.
No, I understood this was her film debut.
Yes,
and I was okay. A Star Is Born.
Yeah, she's great,
right? She natural,
absolutely
screen presence.
Yeah, no,
so
absolutely.
You know, she's an actress in my back pocket because there's genres where you can pick either musical or music film and stuff. So I was ready in case we got one of those like dreaded, you know, genres. But we ended up not using it, which is always cool too to see people who don't do what they're most comfortable with. And push them.
I love the fact that one of the things that I loved about. About the movie is the punchline at the, no pun intended, but the punchline at the end, after the credits finally pop up. It's like you're sitting there watching this thing, and I'm about 7 minutes in, and I'm like, no, there's no credits here. Okay, he's just going to wait till the end, and boom, there they are, and then there's the credits, and then a hilarious like
nice
punchline at the end.
So speaking of Tarantino, if you've seen Death Proof, it's very much in the same vein as that ending where the girls like
the girls are beating the hell out of them at the end of the movie.
You mentioned a writing team. How many people worked on your script?
So we had a writing team of 6 people.
Oh, wow.
So and they're all theater people with no background in sports, like, at all. So they're like, we have like the literary manager at the Goodman. We had like an ex coworker, just people who I trusted who came over Friday night.
I saw a name of a friend of mine is on the credits.
Who's that?
Becca Brown.
Becca Brown. You know Becca Brown?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. She's amazing.
She's incredible. She's been on the show several times.
She took the lead in the mom and daughter scene.
Mm-hmm.
That was like mostly hers. You know,
she's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's really, really great.
Shout out.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. She's the best. And, and of course, I've seen School of Rock like 9,000 times. So that's pretty cool. I was freaked out when she first came on my show. because she was always the little kid from School of Rock. And then she comes in here, and I'm like, ooh, she's grown up.
I think we're thinking of the different Becca Brown.
Are we?
Yeah.
Are
I think we are.
Okay. Okay, it might be a different Becca Brown.
I thought it was cool that you knew this random person who's awesome.
Okay.
But no, I'm sorry.
That's not her. All right, okay, cool, because it's the girl from School of Rock is what I'm talking about. She's in Chicago. She works here in theater.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's
cool.
That's why I thought it was her. All right. So, well, congratulations, man.
Thank you so much.
What's next for the movie?
So we go to a thing called Filmapalooza, where the best 48 films from around the world, and it's about 150 cities, we all come together, and it's in Orlando this year, and we all show our films, and it's kind of the same thing as we did here in Chicago. And the top 12, I think, go on to Cannes.
Mm. The top 12 that are selected will go to the Cannes Short Film Corner, and for the first time in 13 years last year, our team from Chicago went the distance to the Cannes.
Well, we talked to you right before you guys, before you left.
That's right.
The filmmakers in?
Yeah, we had them come in. Yeah.
We had the filmmakers come in, and it was right before the Cannes Film Festival and after the Filmapalooza thing, right?
Filmapalooza. So I'm hoping you guys have got a good shot at it.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, it's a huge testament to the talent here. You know, in Chicago, the film community is amazing.
Yeah, very cool, man. Okay, so, Jerry, now you've been real busy, too. You yourself are a filmmaker.
Yes.
And you've made, editor, director, all that stuff. Now, tell me a little bit before we're going to take a break here and we'll come back and we'll talk more about it. But tell me about this new short film that you've made. And it's a finalist in the Script Summit Screenplay Awards.
So it's not a short film. I can understand where there may have been a misunderstanding. I produced a short proof of concept of the first five pages of a feature script.
So it's a feature then. You eventually want to make a feature.
I'm developing it to shoot as a feature here in Chicago. It's a $960,000 feature film. Could be less. So I have entered into a couple screenwriting contests to help get, you know, some traction on it, show that it's a good script. We were a nominated finalist in the Script Summit Screenwriting Awards that I went out for the awards in Las Vegas, and I just found out 2 days ago we won first place in the Los Angeles International Film Festival.
Oh, congratulations.
Screenwriting Awards. So it's like I got two laurels now, and I'm just going to keep putting it in screenwriting contest, because the more you're able to show that this is a good script, and I've got some objectivity to it. I'm a co-writer on it. My very good friend in Los Angeles, who I've known for years, Sarah Caldwell, she wrote the original draft of this script, and we've been developing this project for years on and off. You know, sometimes it's on the shelf, there's an opportunity to pull it off and see if we can get it off the ground, but she wrote the original drafts, and then I came in and did some co-writing to kind of craft it into a director's piece, because she gave me permission. She said, if you want to direct this film, you want to take on producing and directing it. You've done so much work co-writing it. You're a co-writer. And I've been shepherding it through, you know, various stages of development over the past several years. But I think now that I'm back here in Chicago and I'm operating out of Stage 18 at CineSpace, where a lot of films and TV shows are produced, I'm trying to figure out how I can put financing together to not only produce it here in Chicago as a low budget indie feature, but is also an opportunity to create jobs for a lot of the independent filmmakers at Stage 18 or in the CineSpace community, and put us on the map with, not put us on the map, but put us more on the map with a commercial broad market audience feature film, because a lot of independent films that come out of Chicago, they're very good, but they're very niche and they don't have a lot of commercial success. And everybody who's looked at this particular script, and I think it's maybe, you know, a testimony to the fact that we're placing or winning in some of these screenwriting contests, it's a very broad audience appeal, commercial market.
Well, what's it about? It's called Shelter Me.
It's called Shelter Me. It's about a domestic abuse victim who flees the situation she's in. She's a hillbilly girl from West Virginia involved with this really violent-tempered biker, and she crosses the border into Washington, D.C. to try to find members of her dead mother's family to basically crash with, and when she can't, she ends up in a homeless shelter. That's her safety net, and when she arrives and is processed in this homeless shelter, it's in the midst of this murder investigation that's suddenly taking place because one of the residents was murdered. And as our heroine, Jeannie, kind of is forced to put her life together, get a job, deal with her alcoholism, self-esteem issues, she kind of finds a family amongst the other residents in the shelter, and she forms this bond and this friendship with this little African-American boy named Ellison. And, you know, through the course of the story, another murder takes place in the shelter. And she realizes that she was the intended victim. And I don't want to say more than
but
ultimately what she discovers is that these murders taking place in the shelter are related to this little boy that she's befriended. So she's put in the position where she's really got to protect him, almost sacrificing herself in the process.
And you're looking at just under a mil.
Yeah, well, it's a $960,000 budgeted film. And when we talk about locations like Eric's film, 80% of this story would take place in the homeless shelter, mm-hmm. because that's where it's set. So when I talk about doing it over at CineSpace, we would build the set on a stage there. We'd have control over it. You'd have a shorter shooting schedule because, you know, you're in one location principally.
Right.
Although the story takes place in Washington, D.C., you know, you'd shoot some location photography there, but shoot it primarily in Chicago. And we're also kind of making a little bit of a social statement, keeping it set in Washington, D.C., because people ask, why don't you just set it in Chicago, wherever you're filming? Washington, D.C. is the seat of power, not only in our country, in the world. And it has one of the highest homeless populations mm-hmm. in the country. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a social statement to be made there. We're not taking care of our own. The story touches on a lot of socially relevant topics, from homelessness, domestic abuse, alcoholism. There's a transgendered character, and child trafficking.
Mm.
And these things were not thrown into this story to make it socially relevant. It just so happens that we've got this wonderful dramatic story of this very lovable young woman who rises above her circumstances, and it touches on a lot of topics that I think resonate with people. And crazy thing was, the script was originally written back in the late 90s, and I think that the themes are as relevant, if not more relevant now than they were back then, because
right.
we have more attention on it. I think maybe social media has guided our attention to a lot of these hot buttons that people are dealing with, and it's an inspiring story by the end.
Well, that's great, man. And are you thinking about doing like a Kickstarter or GoFundMe kind of a thing?
We actually are. Right now, we're in our nonprofit development phase where we can raise money to put attachments together for the film.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you know the process with independent filmmaking, but generally investors and financiers want to know that you have actors or actresses attached with some names or some status so that
right.
they feel a little bit better about the risk in their investment.
Right.
So we got fiscal sponsorship status through IFP, Independent Feature Project New York. We are allowed to we're trying to raise $40,000 in development money to put our cast together. The great thing about that is that anybody that wants to donate to our nonprofit fiscal sponsorship can write off the entire amount of whatever they donate.
Mm.
You want to donate $15, you write it off on your taxes. You want to donate $5,000 at the end of the year, you write it off on your taxes. Mm. And our website is ShelterMeMovie.com. If people want to read about the project, if they are gracious enough to want to maybe pitch into our development, my goal is to raise that development money because I've got a casting director here in Chicago I'm working with. And the name of the game is you get letters of intent from actresses, actors. You're paying $5,000 to like get that letter of commitment if they like your script.
Right.
And then with those letters of commitment, you show your finances. We've got names attached that will put butts in seats because people recognize, you know. And when we're talking about the types of actors and actresses we want to get, I'm not talking A-list. We're talking about TV actors and actresses who are transitioning from television to features.
Yeah.
I want to find Jennifer Lawrence when she did Winter's Bone.
Mm-hmm.
Which put her on the map. We're finding that quality of an actress for our lead
right.
role that is looking for that opportunity to really shine in a leading role like
right.
this.
Okay. You guys, hang on, okay? We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk more on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Eric Scanlon and Jerry Vassalatos are here, and we're talking about what's keeping them busy, and of course the 48-hour film festival. We're here until 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 with the opening drive, and then coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. That's what's coming up. Let's welcome Jerry and Eric back. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Are you working on anything now?
Just full-time work at the Goodman right now.
Yeah.
That takes 40 hours of my week or more, so
mm-hmm.
I'm just doing that. You know, I would love to continue doing short films and feature films. I have a couple script ideas, you know, but
yeah.
right now I'm just focused on work.
Well, you got a lot of talent, man.
Thank you.
And, you know, I haven't, you know, I've not seen any of your theater productions and your projections. I'm sure they're great.
Mm.
But as a filmmaker, you got a lot of talent.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Really do.
That's really nice.
Jerry, you made a movie called Solstice.
Mm.
It's a Christmas movie that it was on Lifetime, and it's now its 25th anniversary. And I understand that you're heading off to Hungary.
I am. Not because I'm hungry. Well, I can. I'm hungry to go.
Hello.
Hungry. Ha-ha. Yeah, I actually, Solstice was my first movie I ever directed. I was 25 years old, and through some miracle, I had got a producer's rep who got it on Lifetime Television, and they broadcast it as their first original holiday film. They slapped their...
See, that's the thing that you have this incredible thing that you were the first Christmas Lifetime movie.
What they wanted to have a film associated with their network, but they had not commissioned a production company to do it.
It's
so
just
here's my producer's rep. I've got a finished film. Bang, Lifetime original movie, and it kind of it started off this tradition that they then started producing films.
Well, yeah,
with bigger stars,
and they start showing them in October now.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. And Dan's wife is obsessed with all of them.
My girlfriend's obsessed with it.
Yeah, the Lifetime Christmas movies. So you were the very first one. Okay, but you're going to Hungary to score it.
So here's what happened. When I originally finished the film, it was scored with. An acceptable synthesized score that was supposed to sound like an orchestra, and at that time I think I paid like $10,000 for it from a musician here in Chicago, and as the years have gone on, and I decided 3 years ago, the anniversary was coming up, and I wanted to preserve the film.
Mm-hmm.
So before we got to the music part of it, I needed to get the original negative, which luckily I had in storage, and it was in good shape. And I had it scanned out in New York. I had a 2K scan of the original camera negative, the A-B rolls. And I went through the process of digitally restoring it. That means I'm looking at HD frames on a program that allows me to paint out dust, get rid of scratches, completely clean it up pristine. Mm. I then pass it over to a professional color grader. And once the picture looked great, I thought, if it's going to look this nice again, because I want to see if I can maybe get it licensed for streaming. It's an evergreen holiday movie. Maybe I can do something about the music. So there's this recording studio in Budapest, Hungary called Budapest Recording Studios. And I had gotten a solicitation from them like 5 years ago before I even decided to try to restore my movie. And they specialize in providing orchestral scores for low-budget independent films. So I contacted them and I said, got this 48-minute movie. I'm restoring it. I always wanted an orchestral score for it. You know, I temp-tracked it with pieces of music from Hollywood films.
Sure.
So the composer out there, who's also the studio director, he said, we could probably do this for you for $5,000-$6,000. And I'm like,
wow.
When?
Yeah.
So for the past 3 years that I crowdfunded the 2K restoration, and I'm funding the orchestral scoring, but picture was finished and locked and cleaned up a couple months ago, and my composer, Balint Szepszon, who is in Hungary right now. He also operates out of Los Angeles. He's a professional composer. I'm waiting for the final end credit track tonight to listen to, and I'll be flying out to Budapest Friday morning. They're going to do the orchestral scoring on Sunday, and I'll be back on Tuesday, and that's the last element that I need to drop in, mix with the rest of the sound so that we can do the 25th anniversary screening at the Music Box this year.
And the Music Box 25th anniversary screening is going to take place on December 18th.
And there's a reason for that, because there's a big set piece in the film that we actually shot in the Music Box Theater, recreating their annual holiday sing-along. My character encounters that through the story, so I approach the Music Box people we've got a great relationship with. They screened the 48-hour film project, and I said I did this film 25 years ago. I'd love to show it here because a big part of the story was inspired by what you guys do every year at Christmas time.
Right. Wow. Well, congratulations on that, man.
Thank you.
And that's a quick in and out there in Hungary.
I wish I could stay longer. Yeah. I can't afford to, and I just want to get back and get things done.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll get a little taste and go back again someday.
Jerry, when is the next 48-hour film project, and when can people, if they want to submit some stuff or be a part
of it? Register, sure. So I'm looking to see if we can schedule it again mid or end of July of 2019. We got an earlier start this year because the Music Box was able to give me earlier screening dates, which meant I could push the competition up.
Right.
In previous years, we usually had the competition in August and screened in September. I would just say, check out the website in June. We also have a Facebook page, Chicago 48. I think it's Chicago 48. We also have a Twitter feed. When I start getting dates and I'm out recruiting filmmakers, if you're looking at social media, you'll know and you'll find the dates.
Okay.
And there's always the standby page, 48hourfilm.com/Chicago, and they announce the dates as soon as I have them locked.
Okay. All right. And when is the next fest that you're showing Knockout at again?
That'll be March 6th through the 9th.
March 6th through the 9th.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good luck with that, man.
Thank you.
You made a really terrific movie. Congratulations on it. And it's very impressive. Very impressive indeed. Jerry, always a pleasure, man. Always. You have a website, ericscanlon.com.
I do, but it's not updated.
Oh, okay. All right.
Vimeo.com/Scanlon is a little more updated.
Okay, cool.
It's something I got to do.
All right, cool. All right, there you go. All right.
I finally got a website, branded JerryVasilatos.com.
JerryVasilatos.com.
And everything I'm doing is at my website under my name.
Okay, and we have a link to the movie and to the other films, the runners-up as well, on our Facebook page, and you can check that out right now at Facebook.com/NickDShow. Jerry, always good to see you. Good luck in Hungary.
Thank you.
And Eric, nice to meet you, man.
Pleasure to meet you.
Congratulations. We're going to take a break here. We've got the news coming up next after this on 720 WGN.